Sports Sunday continues here on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We're live and local. Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. with you until the Nats take over their final one against the Diamondbacks this afternoon, that one being played in Arizona. Brandon Ayuk made my job easy today. I had some stuff planned, and then at like 9:30 a.m. East Coast time, which means Brandon Ayuk, who, to my knowledge, is still living in California, or at the very least on the West Coast, decided to make my life a little bit easier, rip up some of the things that I had planned, because we now have to focus on Ayuk. I had thought that what he did on Saturday, which was a pair of Instagram pictures, was going to be all that we heard from Ayuk this weekend. If you didn't see those Instagram pictures, one of them was him shirtless in front of a mirror wearing a Washington Commanders hat. The second one was still him with the hat, but it was a much closer picture, a selfie, and he was posing with a football. But if you looked closely at the football, you saw that it had a Washington Commanders W on the football, which would imply that that's a game ball. I would assume he got that from his friend Jane Daniels, but I don't know that for a fact, so I'm not going to put too much onto that. But he did have what seemed to be a game ball for the Commanders. I thought that was it. And then at like 9:30 this morning, he decided, I got more in the chamber. He said, Denton, radio host across the country, I'm going to make your job a lot easier, because he took to Instagram, and this is the first time that I can, I think this is the first time in at least a year that we've heard Brandon Ayuk talk. It might be the first time that we've really heard him talk publicly since his podcast tour that he did when he was kind of treating Jaden Daniels like a sidekick. You remember he went on the Pivot podcast and Jaden was there, but Jaden hadn't played a game yet in DC. He was just kind of around, and a lot of us were like, oh no, what's happening here? Well, funny how things have not really changed, I guess, in the course of the last 2 years, because Brandon Ayuk is still using Jaden Daniels less of a side piece and more of like the main attraction, but using him as leverage to get out of the situation in San Francisco. But at 9:30, he spoke for the first time on his Instagram. This is Brandon Ayuk addressing his current, hopefully soon to be former team on Instagram.
Dealing with, you know, like them kids and they don't get picked for the basketball game at the court. But they the ones that brought the ball. So they like, all right, y'all don't want to pick me? I'm taking my ball. I'm going home. Boys, little boys. Or like when your kid, he got this one toy, but he don't really know how to use it correctly. So somebody else about to pick it up and play with it. And they like, oh yeah, this shit litty. And they like, wait, hold on, that's my toy. Boy, little boy, man, stop running from the belt. The belt coming. You scared. They scared. The truth is, they scared. They know how I get. They gonna say, oh yeah, B.A. did this, B.A. did that, B.A. did, you know, that shit. Allegedly. But what they not gonna say is, B.A. suck at football, because they know how I get. And they running from that belt that's on the way. It's inevitable. It's coming. Stop running. Stop being a female dog.
Stop being a female dog.
Stop being a little cat.
Being a little cat.
And stop running from the belt.
So there's a lot to unpack here. That was Brandon Ayuk this morning on Instagram, taking shots at his current team that he is hoping, and some of us in DC are hoping, is going to be his former team very quickly. I want to first point out that at the very end, that was nothing that I did to edit that. That was nothing that Metal Chris in our DC studios did to edit that. That was an edited portion that was a part of the video that Brandon Ayuk put out. And now that is an important detail, because that signifies and showcases that this was a planned thing. This was thought out, in a sense, however much Brandon Ayuk is currently thinking at the moment, because we don't really understand what's going on upstairs with him. Nobody seems to understand what's going on upstairs with him at the moment. That doesn't necessarily mean he's out of pocket, but I think a lot of you might think he's out of pocket. So I wanted to make sure that that was specified. This is an that was a pre-edited on his behalf portion of the clip that signifies, hey, this is a planned thing that I am choosing to do on Instagram. Now there's a lot more to unpack here. He gave us two metaphors. I thought the second one was significantly better than the first one, because I kind of think, in a sense, he was on the wrong side of the first metaphor, because he's the one that has technically gone home. So I'm going to ditch that first metaphor. I think that was a bad metaphor. The second one, I think, is a little bit better. He's basically saying they don't know how to use me. They don't know how to use me. They don't understand what I'm capable of. They did not respect me in a way. And this goes back long before we started the rumors of him getting here. This goes back to his initial contract extension in the offseason of 2023 going into 2024. He wanted to be paid incredibly highly, and he still was. I mean, he got a four-year, $120 million contract. He wanted more than that. He did this entire podcast tour, this press tour, where he was going everywhere. I hated the way that he handled that, if I'm being honest, because it felt like there was some indifference. Like, I remember him distinctly going on the Pivot podcast, and they kind of asked him, where do you want to play? And that was like a great opportunity for him to be like, I don't want to play in San Francisco. And then he walked it back a little bit, and he said, I could play in Washington. I could play in Pittsburgh. I could still be in San Francisco. And I was like, well, what was the whole point of this? We know that you called them to do the podcast, and then when it was time for you to stand on whatever your opinion is or whatever you wanted, you kind of backed off a little bit. So I didn't love that. But this is a long-standing feud between him and the organization. And I'm finally glad we got to hear him speak. I've been wanting to hear Brandon Ayuk give at least some of whatever his side is. I didn't think his side was going to be earth-shattering. He didn't give us any real details into why he willingly gave up the money that they voided in his contract. If he was really serious about that money, there would be lawyers involved fighting this. The NFL Players Association would be involved fighting this. None of that is happening. And that's a little bit concerning, but maybe there's other reasons for that. I would like to know those other reasons. Because while this is fun, and while I do agree with the back half of this, if San Francisco really thought he stunk at football, they would have cut him. They wouldn't be holding on to him. They wouldn't be hoping that they could get something out of him. I am not of the belief that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, who I think are the two puppet masters of this operation at the moment, maybe more so John Lynch than Kyle Shanahan, but they work so closely that I feel like they're joint puppet masters. If they really thought he stunk at football, they would have cut him, because I don't think that they are playing this like 5D game of chess where they're like, well, actually, let's hold him for a little bit, because then maybe people will still think that he's good. And then when we release him, somebody who's going to pay him next to no money, and they're going to cut like a sixth wide receiver to sign him, well, the egg's going to be on their face because he's actually not very good. If that is the prank that they're attempting to pull off, that's a really awful prank. Like, that's not a very well thought out prank. No, you're not really getting egg on your face, because what's not going to happen, even if he doesn't sign here, which my expectation is when he eventually gets cut, he's going to sign here in DC. He's going to play with Jane Daniels. Even if he doesn't sign here, though, nobody is signing him to a multi-million dollar contract. At the very best, he's getting like a maybe a two-year contract that's really a one-year contract. It gives a lot of leverage to the actual organization. It's kind of like, hey, we're going to give you a flyer, but we'll also keep something in our back pocket in the event where you are really good, and then we'll just extend you after that and kind of, you know, void that second year of the contract. It's going to be, I think, a two-year deal that gives leverage to the team that he signs with. But there is in no way, shape, or form where it like drastically blows up. I can't see that happening, because you're going to be committing such little financial capital to him. And again, you're like cutting a sixth wide receiver. Now, here in DC, there are a ton of wide receivers on the roster. You obviously have Terry. You got Antonio Williams, who, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty safe roster-wise. Yeah, Treylon Burks, who I'm excited to see what he's going to look like with a full offseason of work and then getting a real lion's share of opportunities, I think, this offseason, specifically once training camp starts. So that's three. I don't really think that they're going to move off of Luke McCaffrey or Jalen Lane. In fact, Dan Quinn has praised Jalen Lane already this year. So I think that's five wide receivers. Then there's an open spot, and you could plug in a bunch of different people there. But are we going to lose our mind over, is it going to be Brandon Ayuk or like a Van Jefferson? It's going to be Brandon Ayuk. Like that's pretty easy to see, right? So I do believe that there's an element of this to where San Francisco is terrified that he is going to leave and then be really good. Because the last full season that we saw from Brandon Ayuk was a really good season. And while knee injuries are certainly a scary thing, it is also 2026. And with modern medicine, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think that a year and a half, 18 months, close to 2 years by the time if he does play this year, he will actually end up playing, that you are going to be pretty darn healthy, that the knee is going to be fully operational, and you'll be able to produce at a decently high level. Is he going to come in and immediately be a 1,300-yard wide receiver? I would say very small chance of that happening. But it's also been a very long time since this team has had a wide receiver to get over 1,200 yards. So if he can come in and do 1,200 yards, I'll take 1,200 yards. If he comes in and plays wide receiver two to Terry's wide receiver one, and you have Antonio Williams in the slot, and Brandon Ayuk, who hadn't played football in almost 2 years, has 50-some-odd catches, 700 to 800 yards, and let's just say five or six touchdowns, I'm calling that a successful season for him, if that's the reality that we end up living in once he's done in San Francisco. I am not like the biggest conspiracy guy in the world, though I do dabble. And one of my biggest conspiracies is to what's going on with San Francisco right now. I firmly believe that they canceled some of their workouts because they canceled some mini camps out there in the Bay. I firmly believe that they canceled some of their workouts so he didn't show up. Because there was a report that came out from the San Francisco area that if Brandon Ayuk showed up, he would immediately be cut. I believe that they canceled some of their workouts, so that did not happen. Because it's not like they're so far ahead of everybody. I mean, who cancels workouts? What is the reasoning for canceling workouts when you need the work? A team in your division just traded for Myles Garrett. Another team in your division is the defending Super Bowl champions. There's got to be a reason that they canceled something. My thought is that so he did not walk in there. I would have walked in there like Stone Cold Steve Austin in 96. Glass shattering. I guess 97 is a better example of that. I would have walked in there like Stone Cold Steve Austin in 97. Glass shattering. I'm going right to Vince McMahon, who in this instance would be John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, and I'm going nose to nose with them. I'm not hitting them over the head with a bedpan, but I'm going nose to nose with them and saying, I'm here. Because that's way better and way more disruptive than anything he's doing on social media. But they took that away from him. This is a real, like, war is not a good term because of what's happening in the world, but this is a real, like, back and forth battle between these two sides. And we get a lot of information from the San Francisco side, which, trust me, I am clocking. When you get a lot of information from the team side of things, that means they are controlling the narrative. And look, this dude, Brandon Ayuk, isn't a saint. No one should be saying that, right? The speeding thing is weird. Not a fan of that one. I do think that the arrest warrant story was, I think that was potentially plugged out into the media to be made a little bit of a bigger deal. I mean, he literally clocked it himself. So if they really wanted to get him, I feel like they would have filed that earlier because that's a no-brainer for a local police force. Oh, he's on video going 111 in a public place? This is an easy one. I don't think that waits 6 months before any sort of legal paperwork gets filed. So I think what we're seeing right now is a splurge of information from one side. I want more from Brandon Ayuk. I need him to do like daily lives. What's the worst that's going to happen? At the very least, it's entertaining, right? I mean, the most entertaining story this entire offseason has been the Vrabel and Russini stuff because we don't very frequently see lead reporters banging a head coach. That doesn't happen very often. But this Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco thing is way more intriguing because there's hate here, right? The opposite of love with the Russini and Vrabel stuff, love or lust, however you want to describe that. Well, let's get some hate. Let's get some angst between the two sides. I need more Brandon Ayuk speaking. How did you feel about the video? Does that change your perspective? Do you still want him here in D.C.? Maybe you're done with him. I want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well at The Denton Day. What did you think of the message that Brandon Ayuk sent to the San Francisco 49ers? We'll take some of your phone calls next. It's a Sports Sunday with D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. What did you think about Brandon Ayuk's video this morning, if you've had a chance to see it? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. He got on Instagram. This is the first time that we had heard him speak, certainly about this situation, since he got his contract voided of all guarantees by the San Francisco 49ers. And in a sense, he was begging is not the right word. Daring is probably not the right word either. Whatever is in the middle of daring and begging, he was doing that to San Francisco to get them to release him so he could then go bring out the belt on them. And it's worth pointing out, the Commanders and the 49ers do play this year. So make a mental note of that in whichever way that you would like. It does feel like that everyone in NFL spaces are just assuming that Brandon Ayuk, when he eventually gets released, is going to play here in D.C. If you don't think that, I would encourage you to look at some of his other Instagram activity from the weekend where he was posting selfies wearing a Commander's hat. I heard and saw the video, and I respected it. I respected him just a little bit more because at the very least he's now speaking. Did we learn a lot from the video? No, he didn't really address any of the rumors. He didn't address the speeding situation. He didn't directly address the organization. It was all implications. It wasn't sneak dissing, but it was all implications implying that he was talking to the San Francisco 49ers. I respected it a little bit more because at the very least, he has now entered the conversation, and he's not just allowing San Francisco to control the entire narrative the way that they have over the past year. I would still point out, if he does sign here, there need to be some rules of guidance put in place so that he does not come in here and blow this thing up from the inside. It's impossible to admit that he's not moving a little oddly this offseason. As much as I love Brandon Ayuk, the talent, because I think that he's very talented, it is impossible to admit that, hey, he's being a little odd. You know, some of his decision-making, like prior to the video, the selfie thing was kind of weird. You know, a shirtless selfie, I guess that was to show that he's still in shape, but I'm smart enough to know that aesthetic shape and football shape are very different things. Hopefully you are also aware that aesthetic shape and football shape are very different things. There are a lot of people in the world with six-packs. I don't think their route running tree is very good. So I wasn't all the way swayed by that. But the video is, I like that a guy is taking control, or at least attempting to, of some of the things that he can. So we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at The Denton Day. Scott tweets me and he says, Denton, I can't explain why, but I'm more on board now with BA after seeing that Instagram post. Now, Scott, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I would assume that the reason you feel that way is the reason that I feel that way, which is it's nice to finally see him playing a little bit of offense in the scenario here, in the drama. And it's also nice that all of his offense that he was playing, the entire premise of the video that we'll play for you again here shortly, but the entire premise of the video was that I can still play football. It really wasn't about the money thing. It wasn't a direct personal shot about personalities with Shanahan or Lynch or whoever. Maybe there's someone else in the organization that he hates more than those two guys that we in the public don't even know. But it wasn't a direct personal shot at any of them. His entire premise was, I can still play football. The two metaphors that he gave at the beginning were still, I can still play football. They know I can still play football. and they're withholding me from playing football. So I think that, for me, was the biggest reason why I liked this, because it wasn't just drama for the sake of drama. It was attempting to showcase, and again, making some sort of request, plea, begging, daring, whatever, get me out of the contract and I'm going to bust you up. Get me out of the contract and I'm going to take this belt and I'm going to do what Michael Irvin was doing in Miami's entire run in the college football playoff. I'm going to treat you like a trash can and I'm going to be smacking you upside come when it's time for Washington and San Francisco to square off this upcoming NFL season, which, by the way, happens to be on Monday Night Football, primetime game. Put me out there, and I'm going to show you what I can do. And admittedly, the last full season that Brandon Ayuk played, he caught 75 passes for 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns. Is he going to do that in his first year back playing real football? You know, he played a little bit in 2024, had the knee injury, has not seen the field since. The rehab situation was wonky in San Francisco. That's one of the reasons that we got here. But I'm also of the belief that there's more to it than just he didn't want to rehab, they didn't like that. There has to be something more. There has to be. It is worth pointing out that if he did have a 1,342-yard season, that would have been the seventh most single-season receiving yards that a wide receiver has ever had in franchise history, just a little bit shy of Pierre Garçon's 1,346 in 2013 and narrowly edging Gary Clark's 1,340 yards in 91. Both of those guys played 16 games. Brandon Ayuk in 2023 played 16 games, so that wasn't even a full 17. They were playing 17 at the time there. That was just 16 games. He was averaging just shy of 18 yards a reception. I'd love that on this offense, by the way. I mean, that would be, you're searching for more weapons to get Jaden Daniels. You're not going to find a better one than Brandon Ayuk if Brandon Ayuk is healthy. It's also worth pointing out that those two guys are best friends. I don't know that Jaden Daniels gave him a hat necessarily, but it makes sense if he did. I mean, you could just go to Lids. You could just go to wherever hats are sold. Maybe he ordered it online. I would assume he maybe got it for free, but maybe he ordered it online. I don't really know. The game ball, I don't think you can just get. I don't know. Unless, if you're a memorabilia collector, please correct me. If you can just get a game ball online, that had to be given to him by somebody. Either that or Brandon Ayuk is such a mad scientist that he created a game ball that he then posted on Instagram yesterday. A selfie of him where you can still see the Commander's hat with the ball, where you see the W on the ball, signifying that it is a game ball. I'm still open on him being here. You know, I want there to be guidance. I want there to be maybe more love. A stricter set of rules for him if he does get here, to be like, hey, we just want to make sure what you are doing to get here is not what you are going to do once you get here. But the power of friendship is strong. We've seen Jaden Daniels. The power of Jaden Daniels' friendship is about as strong as it comes. I mean, hell, Sam Hartman is still on the roster. We all watched that guy in the preseason last year. It was a tough look. He's still on the roster competing for quarterback number 3. Can the power of friendship bring Brandon Ayuk to D.C. with all of the dishevelment that he has dealt with in San Francisco? That's a big-time question. If it's not Brandon Ayuk, who could it be? Because there's another former friend of Jaden Daniels that could wind up landing here. I'll tell you who that is when we get back. It's a Sports Sunday with Denton Day. D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067, what did you think of the video that Brandon Ayuk posted today claiming that he was going to put belt to rear end of his current team, assuming that his current team was eventually going to release him? If you didn't see it, it dropped at around 9:30 a.m. this morning, which is about 6:30 West Coast time, where I am under the assumption that he is living, unless he's like hiding in Ashburn, Virginia somewhere. Can't imagine that's the case, but we've seen crazier things in the NFL. Here is the video that Brandon Ayuk released this morning taking shots at his current team.
Dealing with, you know, like them kids and they don't get picked for the basketball game at the court.
But they the ones that brought the ball. So they like, all right, y'all don't want to pick me? I'm taking my ball. I'm going home.
Boys, little boys, or like when your kid, he got this one toy, but he don't really know how to use it correctly. So somebody else about to pick it up and play with it. And they're like, oh yeah, this shit litty. And they're like, wait, hold on, that's my toy. Boy, little boy, man, stop running from the belt. The belt coming. You scared. They scared. I mean, the truth is, they scared. They know how I get. They gonna say, oh yeah, B.A. did this, B.A. did that, B.A. did, you know that shit. Allegedly. But what they not gonna say is, B.A. suck at football, because they know how I get. And they running from that belt that's on the way. It's inevitable. It's coming. Stop running. Stop being a female dog.
Stop being a female dog.
Stop being a little cat.
Being a little cat.
And stop running from the belt.
That was Brandon Ayuk on Instagram. 800-636-1067. Are you a fan of that? Are you not a fan of that? I'm dying to know. I kind of like it. He's finally putting himself out there into the ether and addressing this situation between him and his current, soon-to-be former team in the San Francisco 49ers. This is the first time that he's really been public about the disdain that he has for what's going on. Now, I do wonder, in hearing this back, and I've listened to this multiple times this morning. I had to edit it. You know, we can't be playing cuss words on the radio. I like my job. Metal Chris in our DC studios likes his job, so we can't be doing that. But in listening to this over and over again, I am curious, what are the allegedlies? Because, like, the speeding thing was a thing. He did that. He promoted that. He put that on, you know, social media himself. What are the allegedlies? Is he referring to not showing up to rehab? Because I do remember when that story initially broke, it felt like there were conflicting reports of he was there, but he was there before everybody else got there. And maybe that's what the team didn't like. Or there was a lot of differing stories during that specific time frame of the saga, right? It feels like this saga has been going on for 18 months to almost a full 2 years now at this point. But is that what he's referring to with the allegedlies? Because I'm curious as to what that means. We've heard a lot of things from San Francisco. There's been like personal stuff. Maybe he's referring to the fact that people who know him still know him, because that's one of the newer reports that everyone who is close to him has not heard from this dude. He's been completely MIA. And I don't believe that aspect of it, because that video was edited. It was not edited by me. That slowed down effect, that was an edit that he put on the video. I did not do that. And I mean this in the nicest way possible. While he does have time on his hands, I cannot imagine that he wants to sit there and edit the video. I don't know what he majored in college. I don't even really know if he went to class. Breaking news, a lot of football players don't go to class in college. They do online courses. Maybe he has a video editing background. I have no idea. But my guess is that he did not, and that he does not, and somebody edited that for him, which would suggest that people who care about him still, in fact, care about him. So I want to know your thoughts. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well. Got a couple of tweets. My guy Commander Jigga says, of course he's not in football shape. I think the photo he's referring to is what Brandon Ayuk posted on Instagram, where you could see that he still had a six-pack and he still looked to be aesthetically in good shape. I think the photo was used, this is back to the tweet, to point out that he's not a fat blob like so many thought. Do I want him here? Yes. I'm not judging his actions and the way he's going about it. So that's from Commander Jigga. I agree with a lot of that. I'm judging his actions a little bit, because I think he could have handled some things very differently. If I was Brandon Ayuk and I really wanted out, I would have gone to the first available workout for San Francisco. I would have walked into the building and been like, hey, I'm here. You guys have been talking all this noise. You don't want me here. Well, guess who's here? Because that would be infinitely more awkward than anything that he's doing on social media. The social media stuff is like fun and games, but it would be infinitely more awkward if he was just there. He just showed up. And I do believe that one of the reasons San Francisco, maybe one of the primary reasons that they canceled some of their workouts, was to avoid Brandon Ayuk showing up. Because I cannot think of a better reason for a team that is currently projected to be at best third in their division, seeing as the defending Super Bowl champ exists in that division, and the Los Angeles Rams, who were the big time favorite before they traded for Myles Garrett, who have now recently acquired Myles Garrett, they're also in that division. Nobody's worried about the Cardinals. Sorry to Jacoby Brissett, my holdout king. Sorry to Carson Beck and whoever the hell else is on that roster. But if you're San Francisco, you need the work. Them canceling activities, I think that's because they didn't want Ayuk to show up. Because they have told themselves, and it's been reported, if he shows up, they're cutting him immediately. If he steps foot on the premise, he is gone. So I think they canceled to make sure that he could not do that, because they would like to hold on to him for as long as possible, because what he said at the end is that they are scared of what happens because they know he's not bad at football. He might be a nutcase in some regard, which most wide receivers kind of are. You kind of have to be good at that position. But they are afraid. Dave tweets at me. He says, the arrest warrant on the deserted road outside of the stadium 6 months after it happens makes me wonder why law enforcement is just now doing this. His reaction to Kyle Shanahan canceling a mandatory minicamp shows he's tired of the BS. Bad look for San Francisco. I agree. I don't know what California law suggests in terms of when like arrest warrants have to be filed. I don't pretend to have any real grasp of the United States legal system in any capacity, let alone in a state in which I do not live. With that said, it does feel like if they really wanted to pop him on that, that's a pretty cut and dry case, and it would take them like maybe 6 hours, not 6 months. He's literally on video doing it. Now, there is not a defense lawyer in the world who is good enough to walk into court and get him off when he has video of him doing it. So I don't know why that would have taken them 6 months.
I'll tell you, I did just Google it, and in the state of California, traffic misdemeanors have a 1 year statute of limitations.
So that means they have a year to press charges.
I think you have to be in court, like your court day has to be within that year. I think it's not just when you're arrested, it's the
When you show up.
I think that's how statute of limitations work, but I'm not a lawyer.
So that would make the most amount of sense that they have a year to do it, but again, it's so cut and dry where you don't need to wait longer than a day. You have it on video, right? So you're looking at it and being like, all right, he is driving. I know where this place is. I see the dash. The dash is reading upwards of 100 miles an hour.
When did it happen? Because you could say it's an old video or like, you know what I mean? It's hard to say like this guy committed a crime at some point, and you're like, well, when? Like,
correct.
You know what I mean? Because he could say, well, that was from 2 years ago, and that's past the statute of limit. Like, I don't know how you prove that from someone's posted video online.
You would strip the video, go to metadata. You'd need some nerds involved.
That can be altered as well.
You could easily prove the date of the video if you really put some legwork into it. Because unless Brandon Ayuk is like a Batman villain, I don't think he's putting in the legwork to alter metadata.
California police may have deals with all those Silicon Valley companies
exactly.
Get the back doors. Yeah.
So the arrest situation the warrant situation was weird to me as well, because that felt very deliberate in kind of a similar way to how whenever the Diana Russini and Mike Vrabel stuff calms down, there's like a new article, there's like a new piece of news, or there's just something to keep them in the general sports zeitgeist. That kind of felt like that's what that was from the Brandon Ayuk situation. It's like, hey, here's another bad thing that he did, by the way. And we're just gonna put this story out there, and it's gonna garner more attention in an attempt to make him look bad. Which, by the way, don't speed, right? We kind of dealt with that with the Jamin Davis stuff, where he was speeding on Loudoun County Parkway, which is not any, like, I don't know what the speed limit is around the stadium in San Francisco, but I can tell you that Loudoun County Parkway is somebody that grew up in the general Ashburn area, is very residential, right? In fact, I actually know people from when I went to high school. They got in a massive car accident on Loudoun County Parkway for doing the same thing. It was at a different part of Loudoun County Parkway. It was more in like the South Riding area, not so much as the closer to Ashburn area where Jamin Davis got caught with speeding. And that's before it cut through. If you were an OG of that area, you remember those times. But that's a road that you can't be speeding on for a lot of those reasons, right? So we've had the issues with the speeding with players here. Right. Yeah. Jason Worth, another example. I guess at least he was on the Beltway, but I'm not going to give him too much credit.
He's going like 125 on the Beltway.
He's doing 120. Yeah, it was at night. It was at night. I mean, the people that I knew in high school were going 120 on Loudoun County Parkway in a 45. Jamin Davis going like 114 on a 45. So it's not good by any stretch. But I do think there's more to the story. I teased another option because if the power of friendship for Jaden Daniels doesn't work with Brandon Ayuk, it might work with another wide receiver that could provide to be a nice deep third here in Washington. I'll tell you who that is when we get back. It's a Sports Sunday with Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C. at the Denton Day on Twitter. We've been spending a lot of time discussing Brandon Ayuk. If he doesn't end up in Washington, we'll see what his future looks like. Does Washington go with another friend of Jaden Daniels to potentially be wide receiver number two? I'm not talking about Brian Thomas Jr. I'm referring to Kayshon Boutte, who wants out of New England. When they traded for A.J. Brown after signing Romeo Doubs, he is smart enough to see the writing on the wall. Hey, I'm not going to get a lot of burn on the field. I've been pushed back now to wide receiver number three, despite the fact that he had a pretty decent year in 2025. And one of the reasons that Drake May had a really good year. Guy became a legitimate deep threat for the New England Patriots on their run to the Super Bowl. Stephon Diggs was obviously wide receiver number one. But does Washington take a flyer on Boutte? He played with Jaden Daniels at LSU. It was not a part of the Heisman year team. He played the year prior to that. Then he got drafted in the sixth round when Jaden Daniels went on to win the Heisman Trophy, throwing to Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and Kyron Lacy. But for a year, those two guys played together at LSU, and they were pretty productive. It wasn't the most productive year in the world, but there was also a lot of changes at LSU during that time. Obviously, Jaden comes over. There's some offensive changes going on. When you get a quarterback like Jaden, the whole scheme has to adjust because LSU did not have a quarterback that had the capabilities of Jaden Daniels before they got him. They were still kind of reeling in, trying to find a replacement for Burrow at the time after he had led them to a championship, and they had a bunch of dudes that stood really still in the pocket and didn't have a whole lot of athleticism, and then they get this athletic guy, and their offense completely exploded. But he caught 48 passes for 538 yards and two tutties in his final year with Jaden at LSU. Last year, he caught 33 passes for 551 yards, six touchdowns with New England. If you break those down to averages, you hear 33 catches, and you're like, well, that's not great. Wide receiver two is going to need a little bit more than 33 catches, a sentiment that I very much agree with, but it's his yard per catch that turns my head a little bit. Because 551 yards on 33 catches is just a hair under 17 yards per catch. If you're looking in 2026 to expand the offense down the field, you would love a guy that can get you 17 yards per catch. You got Terry on one side, or Terry on multiple sides, because we're going to be moving Terry McLaurin around. Yes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, please, please and thank you, Mr. Blau. But Terry's going to be moving around. He's going to be wide receiver number one. You can put Williams in the slot. If you like Boutte, and if Jaden Daniels gives you the go-ahead and says, hey, I loved him at LSU, I think he's a great guy, I think he fits into what we're doing culturally in D.C., and he extends the field in a way that maybe is better than De'Ami Brown or Treylon Burks or any of the other wide receivers that are here on the roster. He did it and played meaningful football deep into the playoffs, playing in the Super Bowl. He had six touchdowns on 33 receptions. That's a touchdown every 5.5 catches. Now, that number is not going to be consistent year over year, certainly, but it does showcase that, hey, this guy can make plays when called upon to make plays. My question, and this is where I would put the brakes on just a little bit, is what are you giving up for him? You know, we would all love Brian Thomas Jr. to be here, but Jacksonville is playing hard to get and saying he's a former first-round pick. We drafted him very highly. You're not just going to fleece us for BTJ. You might be able to fleece, shall we say, New England for Kayshon Boutte. They drafted him in the sixth round a couple of years ago. They have A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs, a couple good tight ends on the roster as well. It's not like they need him. It actually might benefit them. Hey, just give us like a fifth-round pick, maybe a fourth. Fourth is about as high as I'm going there. I'm not going a third. I'm damn sure not going higher than that for a guy that had 550 yards last year. But if you see the potential in what he could be and say, we'll give you a sixth to get another weapon if the Ayuk thing doesn't work out, if the Diggs thing doesn't work out, which, by the way, I don't think that the Diggs thing is going to work out at this point in time. If they really wanted Stephon Diggs, he is available. There is no mean organization in San Francisco holding him hostage. If that dude really was available or they really wanted him here, they would have just signed him already. And he's doing the tour, be like, hey, I would like to be there. I don't know that that is the case. It's a Sports Sunday with Denton Day, D-Day, NDC on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up, Game 3 of the NBA Finals. I'm a little bit jealous of the New York Knicks. I'll tell you why next.